funeral? All right, then. Well, hey, that'll be nice all the way around. All right, good singing all the way. We bless the Lord for that and how good it is, how good God's been. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, we're going to be turning there for a little bit, chapter number 7. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. You find the place you're able to stand, then let's do so. While we begin looking in chapter number 7 and in verse number 33. And the carcasses of the people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. And then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. I want to preach a little bit tonight that, if we will, when the sound of pleasant voices are gone. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. And we thank you, Lord, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. There's one lost without God. Trouble their heart until they find peace with thee. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that we've just got through reading, God said, I'm going to cause to cease from Judah. And then he begins to name the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Do you realize, though, tonight that what you're listening to, as while I'm standing up here and while I'm preaching you the word of the Lord, is that the church of the living God is the bride of Christ. And what happens is when you're not hearing the voice of the bridegroom anymore, that means you're not going to hear the word of the Lord that exalts and magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say to you, isn't that sad? Mirth, gladness, the bridegroom's voice, the bride's voice, all of that gone and silenced down. No doubt the reason being is because of the fact is that Israel had gotten so far away from God as in the day and hour of which that we're living in. God said in chapter number 8, when you read there, at that time the Lord's going to bring out the bones of kings of Judah, the bones of princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. Now these are people that have done died and done been buried. And God said, I'm going to have them dug up, and I'm going to lay them out toward the host of heaven. If you read the next verse, I'm going to let them lay out before the crowd that they used to worship, namely the sun and the moon and the stars and so forth and on. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that times will be so bad, they're going to be like dung upon the face of the earth. Could you imagine your preacher being laid out there? There's his bones. Sorry thing, never preached anything. He got to where he was trying to cater to the crowd, and there's his bones laying out there bleaching before the sun, pointed toward the sun, the stars, and all that they used to worship that cannot help them one way or the other. I got to say to you that when you look into the Bible, that it's a different story whenever you look into the word of the Lord, and make no mistake about it, is that whenever the priest and the princes and the prophets and the people and the inhabitants, when they've been laid out before the Lord and laid out before the host of heaven, let me tell you right now, do you stop and think that's somebody's father? That's somebody's mother? That's somebody's son and daughter that's laid out there? Somebody, somewhere, that could have bowed their knees unto the Lord, but yet, instead of doing so, they just went ahead and hardened their heart and went their own direction. Went to building graven images, if you begin to look very carefully in it. This Bible said they're going to be spread, verse number 2, out before the sun and out before the moon. Do you realize, though, that we live in a world that somehow or another they're willing to tolerate natural things and the imagination of men's hearts? And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that God's idea is like this here. They didn't want me when they could have had me. Then go ahead and trust in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and things that cannot help you. In this lesson that we're looking at, and by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, just because, you know, we've had an exit or two, and we've, in 50 years that I've been here, we've had more than one or two exits and all that. They're not all of them as friendly as you are. there's not all of them that that is are favorable to us as what you are. Let me say to you, that's not a problem. I've had some of my worst enemies that left come right on back in. And let me tell you, if they don't start nothing, they won't be nothing started. We'll treat them kind. We'll be courteous unto them. Don't ever get to the place where that you can't look at your enemy without having to snub them. Sure, you may throw up a little bit in your mouth. But try not to make a scene. It makes you look worse, you see, to be able to do that. I just said all that so you'd say this, is a, there's a time to be able to lay aside all your differences and take care of it at another time. Not everybody knows that rule. Not everybody will follow that or practice that. But anyhow, we'll help them along if need be. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, there's a scene here of desolation. You're going to find out is that the leaders who had worshipped the nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, and things of that nature there. And as a result of it now, some of them's going to be laid out in display when their bones are laid out there. I got to say to you that if you will, that one of these days it's going to be disastrous. I sit every now and again on a deer stand. And you know, I've noticed in the last many years there's more crows than there have ever been. And as a result of that, I'm not talking about a whiskey bottle old crow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about caw, caw, caw crows. I like them. I welcome them because they'll tell you that you've got food out there, and it tells them other animals that are out there, hey, boys, he's thrown some corn out here. And so I like it. I welcome the sound of it. But I got to say to you that, if you will, that one of these days is that all this God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world that we live in, one day God's going to use all that crowd to feed the fowls of the air. Notice, if you will, please, in this lesson that you begin to look at it about verse number 5. Verse 5 of our text, why then is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? Now, here's what the word perpetual means. It means from one sunrise to the sunset to the next sunrise, something of that nature. These were people here that day or night, coming or going, heaven or hell, they were backslidden and were not going to get straightened out with God. And the Bible said that, if you will, that they hold fast in deceit, and said as a result of that, they refuse to return. And he said, I hearkened and I heard, but they spake not aright, and no man repented him of his wickedness. And what have I done? Every one to turn to his course as a horse, I rush it to the battle. Now look in verse 7 and listen to what it says. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. You know the reason why the stork's not eating up flesh, human flesh, and people of art, you know why? It's not time for yet. And he says, and the turtle, that's like a turtle dove he's talking about, and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that one of these days is that God's going to bring all the fowls together, and they're going to be a great feast, and they're going to be able to feast upon the carcasses of those who have denied the Lord and died without the Lord. There's a passage, don't lose your thought here, but over there in the book of Revelation. Revelation, as you turn over there in the passage in chapter number 21, I believe that it is. If it's not, we'll be close to it anyway. But over there in the book of Revelation, the Bible said that when you look into it, verse 17, in chapter number 19 is where we're going to start looking at it. Chapter number 19, verse 17. I saw the angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now you talk about this God-denying, God-defying world we live in. They're not going to be anything but supper for a bunch of bird foods, what they're going to be. And the Bible says that you may eat the flesh of kings. Doesn't matter what a big shot you may be or how big a ruler you might. The flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them. And the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, the false prophet, so forth, and all the miracles and the deceptive things that he had done, the next passage there, and they're thrown into a furnace of fire burning with brimstone. Now, I got to say to you is that our God is a God of war, and you can't whoop him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of these possibly that'll be turned into bird food. How'd you like to see birds picking out your eyes and your flesh and eating up the animal that you're riding? Well, that's the way it's going to be, and that's what's going to end up happening. I got to say to you, it doesn't matter if you're a king, a captain, or whatever it is that you're going to find that back in our text that we've read, not only is there a scene of desolation, there's a scene of desperation. Now, let me say to you, the time for that is not yet. And the reason being is because of the fact is that men have become wicked, but God's still given a space of grace before they'll finally be driven from the land. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you'll find there's in verse 5 of our text that we've read, we're going to be a scene of deceit. And let me tell you right now is that make no mistake about it. In verse number 5 of our text, and why then is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit, they refuse to return. Now, I can tell you right now, that's what pep rally preaching and clubhouse religion has done in the day and hour we're living in. Somehow or another, people are not taking God serious any longer. Now, I'm knowing that it's not you. I realize that. I realize that, oh, you ought to be able to get up and leave here shouting when it comes your time to go. I know that. I know. But as the most part, let me tell you, they've got no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. In fact, is they've gotten so far away from God, the Bible said that they've refused to return by perpetual backsliding. They'll start in the morning backsliding. They go to bed backsliding. They'll spend the rest of their day backsliding. And one of these days, they don't realize at all that they're all a bunch of bird brains and have less sense than a bird's God, and that they're going to be bird food one of these days. You know, every time it doesn't take long to be able to train these animals. They automatically know where their bread's buttered. We've got several animals. We don't even own an animal except for a parrot. We do own one parrot, and the rest of them are borrowed animals that have adopted us. And they'll come there, them cats, you know, meow, meow, you know, and telling me, which I know a little bit of cat language, and, oh, I see you need something to eat. All your food's gone. And so you'll get that, and boy, here they come. There's three ducks out there, little bitty ducks. I guess there are three that survived out of about a dozen. But anyhow, there's three of them. It didn't take them long. And boy, here they'll come right up there to me. They want to throw here some of that chicken corn. And we'll throw that out, and all that bit is I get a kick out of watching them. Sometimes they get in a fight and they with one another. Sometimes you'll find out is that every time Brother Jared and Miss Sarah leave the house, here comes Edgar over there. And buddy, he sits down, and boy, you ought to hear some of the stuff he tells me about them. He's fat as a bear, and it's like he's pleading. They ain't fed me in weeks. And anyhow, he eats plenty. We've got plenty of scraps. You know, my dog, since it died, doesn't eat nearly as much as it used to. But let me tell you what, right now, buddy, she had plenty while she is here. Now Edgar's trying to help clean it up. I got to tell you right now, we've got a bowl that big around, and they'll dump that. My wife will dump scraps. I'm talking about it's got everything under the sun. Things you wouldn't dream of feeding your animals. And I dump that in there, and buddy, that dog, he'll go to working on it, and then here comes that big old gray rooster, and then here comes a whole bunch. And buddy, I've never seen chickens eat gravy and meat, and buddy, they'll peck that bowl dry. I guarantee you they will. They'll eat anything. Some say, oh, reckon that's going to hurt them. Hadn't hurt them yet. Hadn't hurt them yet. I mean, I'm not a veterinarian or anything, but I guarantee you right now is I can tell you by experience. I don't know, do they give stars for that, presidential stars for that? But I can tell you right now, buddy, they'll just eat anything you throw out there. And I want to tell you, one of these days, whenever the Lord says and calls the turtle doves and God calls the crane and God and goes on and on and on. And the ravens, if he's going to call them, that's going to be a hungry bunch. How'd you like, do you know in the Bible said that God opens up his hand and that he feeds all of nation, all of creation every day of their life? God, they're eating out of the hand of God. And God may use your hand or my hand to be able to help it along, but they're eating every day. I'm not feeding all of them. How'd you like to be able to pay the food bill one day? God does it every day. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that, is this crowd that's been so deceitful for so long that one day their own bodies and their own horses that they're riding, fighting. You know why they're riding horses, don't you? They're fighting in the battle of Armageddon, fighting against the Lord and his army, and let me tell you, they're going to lose. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that in this lesson is that you'll find that birds, in verse 7, have a sense of discernment that comes from the Lord. I want to tell you something. It's good for you and I to have a sense of discernment. Migratory birds, you ever notice how that they come down and they go back home where they belong? Because it's their time. One of these days, it'll be their time to be all summoned, and God will summons all the fowls of the earth. And let me tell you, it won't be safe to go outside for people that do not know the Lord. And, of course, I, myself, won't be here during that time. I plan to be gone. I don't know if I'm going to be able to ride a horse and all that business there and that comes from heaven, but if so be that I can, that's fine. I do want one of these days to be able to help reign and rule with a rod of iron. There's a few people I'm going to smack with it. Nancy Pelosi's one of them. And Hillary Clinton is going to get two smacks. I got to tell you right up front, I realize the only reason I'm not going to be a smacker and rather be a smacky or whatever that it is because of the grace of God that's been bestowed upon me. I want to say in closing tonight that if you will, please, is that our brains ought not to be smaller than a bird's. And the birds, they know and they observe the time that God is going to have appointed for them. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, look in verse 8, in chapter 8 of Jeremiah, and he says, how do we say that we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he in. The pen of the scribes is in vain. And here's what we're thinking. Religion, no doubt, so blind and blinded their eyes to where they can't even believe what they're pinning down themselves. And as a result of that, you're going to find they're hardened in sin. Look in verse number 12. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. That's a bad deal, isn't it? You know, they not only had done wrong, but buddy, they didn't even blush about it. Verse 14, why do we sit still and assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent therefore before the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because that we have sinned against the Lord. We look for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and he said, behold, trouble. I want to say to you that if you will, then in the next passage he talks about them snorting horses and this and that. It's a scene of desolation. It's a scene of disease that's upon the land that'll be during that time. Then verse 22, we're going to close. Here's what he says. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Have you ever noticed that the smarter that we become in the medical field, and I appreciate all that we have in the medical field, and those of you that are working toward that, I appreciate very much. But have you ever noticed as smart as people have become in the medical field, we can't touch the hem of his garment? He's more than one step ahead of us. You know, I watch a little bit of TV. I'm not watching near what Brother Galen called me this week. In fact, I was talking to him when Miss Kelly had called to tell me about Miss Eve going to heaven. And so anyhow, I knew what that call, I knew what it was going to be just in my soul. Anyhow, I was listening to Brother Galen, and he said, have you been watching TV? I said, have I? I was at a conference one time where a guy tore people's heads off for having TV and this and that. And I got up and they called on me the next after that to follow that kind of preaching. I said, well, I'll tell you. I'm already watching TV 12 hours a day, and I get to heaven, I'm going to watch it round the clock. I didn't get a whole lot of amens on it and all that right there. I said, but at least I'm not like some of you that are hiding in a motel to be able to catch up on TV that you've been telling people you didn't have. I could call several names, but I won't. Let me call one guy's name that's dead, all right? He was over here not very far. Old Brother Matlock. He used to call me up and want to know, did you see the news? Yeah, do you? What are you talking about? No, I don't even have a TV. Oh, okay. Well, you call this poor, deluded, deceived, carnal preacher and going to ask me what the news had to say? He laughed. Yeah, I guess I am. I want to say to you that if you will, that we live in a world. I've noticed, where was I on this TV thing? I got you wanting to watch TV. Here it is, right here. I've noticed that on TV there that it's got a list of the people that are playing in it. It'll tell you when they were born, and sometimes if they've died, it'll tell you when they died. And I got to looking at it, and did you know that most of the time when you're looking at some of those people, especially among women, they died in their 40s, late 40s and early 50s, cancer. And let me tell you right now, you know, you can finally pull their name, get over there, and you can find out, and you'll know, and you'll be able to see. And most of them, they died with cancer of some sort. Let me tell you, way back when, friend, is that we've come a long way with this thing called cancer. But we are not able to touch the hem of his garment when it comes to it. I've never seen in the day and hour that we're living in the money and the lies and the prestigiousness and the collection that they're making. Me and Brother Ron talked about it one time. You know, my wife's got a couple of jackets over there. It says cancer. It's got a line drawn through it. We're going to stamp out cancer. No, you're not. You're not going to. And let me tell you, if you and I had the cure for cancer tonight and you got it out, you wouldn't be living by the end of this week. Too much money. Yes, sir. And let me tell you, that's the kind of thing that God is going to judge in these people that we've got here. Because let me say, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there nothing to give and help them with these senseless diseases? And I want to tell you right now, every now and again, God does something that just simply amazes us to be able to let us know. Have you ever noticed, is that like on those little kids? They'll show them little kids, you know. Now some of those kids are grown and ugly as a mud fence. And do you know they don't even let them be in a commercial no more? You know what they do? They go back and take them pictures when them kids were a little bitty thing and cute as a button and make you feel sorry for them. If you're giving money now, and I'm not against that, but if you're trying to give money now, you're giving it to an ugly kid. And I'm sorry about them and this and that and all that business there, but I got to tell you right now is God asks the question, we're closing, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I'll tell you what happened is they got to where they were depending too much on the medical world and humanity than they were the Lord. And by the way, let me tell you right now is if I get sick, I plan to go see a doctor. In fact, I've got to go see one this coming Wednesday. I got a swallow problem of some sort. It's not there all the time, but it's there sometimes. And all that business there. And so, you know, I'm figuring that it's probably my old age. But, you know, they've been a lot of things hard to swallow in the ministry. Sometimes it'll just collect right there in your throat. But I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the coming of the Lord. You're listening to somebody tonight, and I'm preaching to people tonight that enjoy the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom. Thank God for that. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us even while. the word to every heart tonight. Now save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free as our heart's desire and our prayer unto thee. And I pray that now you'd move upon us, go with us to our home, bring us back safely. We even pray now, Lord, that you'll have hearts that'll be ready to open and ears that'll listen, lives that'll be obedient. May, dear God, the gospel message lodge in some people that we don't normally get to preach to this coming week. We'll thank you in advance for all of that in Jesus' name.